And I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. But kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
It's time for another edition of the sports page. Thursdays seem to roll around every other day. Kyle,
you know, Steve, when
oops, Kyle and Fred join us this morning. Morning, gentlemen.
Morning, John.
Fred, you there?
I'm here.
Kyle's in a boat. Fred's sitting down somewhere. I suppose Kyle's sitting down, too. So, we got a lot of stuff to cover. First of all, we lost a great humanitarian and football player yesterday.
Yeah, we sure did. Neil Sayers, man. Maybe the greatest halfback ever lived. Definitely the greatest punt receiver and kickoff returner of all time. And longtime athletic director after he got out of playing football, youngest person to ever been to the Hall of Fame, a Wichita native who moved to Omaha as a kid, went to Omaha Central, the alma mater of two of the greatest athletes of the 20th century, Gail Sayers and Bob Gibson.
Wow.
And let's say it the way it is, everybody. Football killed him.
Yeah.
Had dementia, had every brain injuries. And let's be fair, rah, 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 when we're all going out and making money for universities in the NFL, like Scott Hall pointed out to me last night, football killed him.
Yeah, Kyle, were you aware of Gale Sayers at all? You're probably a little bit too young, never saw him perform, but I tell you what, I couldn't wait to watch the Bears on TV and watch him catch a punt. He was like Barry Sanders, an early Barry Sanders. He was different.
Yeah, Sayers was before my time, but of course I've seen the NFL studios film clips and stuff on YouTube of him hurdling tacklers on punt returns, and of course Vikings fans are trained from birth to try to dislike Bears and Packers players, but it is pretty hard to dislike a guy like Sayers, who is a all-timer on the field and an all-time good guy off the field too.
And of course, Fred, Brian's song, I think that's the first time as a kid I've ever wept watching a show. Brian Piccolo
first,
and Gil Sayers.
Well, yep. First cable-produced movie, and it was a huge success. These are two guys that roomed with each other, a white guy from the South who went to Wake Forest, and a black guy from Omaha who went to KU. And, of course, Piccolo died at age 27, 26 of a cancer. And Sayers was there for him the whole time. Plus, here's another thing about football. There are no halfbacks anymore. There are no 185-pound sprinters out there playing halfback. You got those kind of skills, you're a wide receiver. And the running backs are all 220 and 230. Now it's what was so interesting about football in the 50s and 60s where Gale Sayers, and in my opinion, easily the greatest football player to ever live, Jim Brown, were direct opposites in physical body size. That's when they ran two backs. Everybody did. A fullback and a halfback.
And a halfback, yeah.
Those days are over.
And many of those fullbacks are suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's.
Earl Campbell in a wheelchair, y'all.
Yeah, boy, we all thought that was great, but now we don't do that anymore. So speaking of these injuries, San Francisco 49ers and a bunch of rash of injuries. And there's like a suit, or they're taking it out. Is it the New York Giants Stadium where they put in new turf? And they're really going after them because it's supposedly sticky?
There are three investigations going on at the turf. The Giants and the Jets share a stadium, but it's not in New York. It's in New Jersey. It's what they call by slang out there the Meadowlands. The sports pages usually have that expression, the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
And I know it's a new surface, you know what I'm saying? But their injury numbers, Kyle, they're crazy high.
Two ACL tears and an MCL sprain and a couple other assorted injuries and out of one game on that new turf. It could be a freak game, but we've seen that happen before. I can't remember which university it was, but there was an NCAA team a few years back that had put down new turf and had a rash of knee injuries as well, and they ended up having to roll it up and put different stuff down.
Yeah, I remember that. Now let's talk, since we're talking about turf and we're talking about college, now the Big Ten's back in session. Talk about politics. High school is now back in action for high school football and volleyball. I don't know how I feel about it. Let's start with you, Kyle. What do you feel?
Well, we talked about it a little bit last week. It's public health has to come first, but if there's an opportunity to get some semblance of normalcy back in life, and do it in the same way, it's worth a shot. You know, the young people need the social aspect of life. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and if they can do it in a safe way, then they may as well give it a shot. Now, it's been encouraging so far that with the NFL in particular, there hasn't been a rash of cases. They seem to be taking pretty good care of it, but, of course, there's a lot of difference between NFL teams that can sequester their players and a bunch of 18 to 20-year-old, 22-year-old kids who maybe won't exercise as much discretion. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
Fred, is this going to be like a financial burden also on high school for high school football and volleyball kids? Do they have the ability to do this safely? Fred?
Oh, did we lose Fred?
I guess we maybe lost Fred. Fred, you there? All right, well, then we need to talk about the Minnesota Lynx. Heidi called me at 3 in the morning and said, don't forget the Lynx. They had a big game against the Seattle Storm, who had thrashed them by 24 points both times, and they lost at the buzzer.
A heartbreaker, yep. I was flipping back and forth between that and the baseball game, and so I actually missed seeing the game-winning buck and flip back just to see the wrong team celebrating. But that was a tough one for the Lynx.
But as an ex-coach, the whole game was on a young lady. I don't know all their names, but the Storm took a shot. We're up by two. There's not much time left. She got a rebound, a defensive rebound, and quickly outletted it. It was tipped immediately by our defender and put in for a layup. And just like that, you know, like a four-point possession nearly. But they play tonight, and we'll see what's going to go on. Okay, let's talk about, I don't know what happened to Fred, but I don't have the ability to call him right now. Let's talk about the Twins, Kyle. They won again last night. Pitching's a little shaky as far as the relief pitching, but I think that's the case for every single organization. And our pitcher did a good job last night.
Yeah,
until
the Maeda for Gratterall swap.
Ooh, how are you doing?
The Maeda for Gratterall trade turns out to have been a pretty good thing for both teams.
Yeah.
And Kenta Maeda has been the Twins' best starter by a really long margin, and Brusdar Gratterall has been a really good reliever for the Dodgers, so good to see it working out for both teams. Important to note, too, that Cleveland had another walk-off win over the White Sox last night, so that, combined with the Twins' win, has the Twins in first place by half a game.
Yeah.
And the reason that's really important is if they can vault over the White Sox and win the AL Central, they won't have to play the hated, dreaded, feared New York Yankees in the first round of the playoffs.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, now we can. We lost you. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. So I'm most worried, as I told you before, about the Twins' relief pitching. They turned 6-0 into 7-6. Very worried about that in the playoffs. On the other hand, Cabrera is one of the three, best guys playing baseball today. So he knocked in all six runs. I did want to say quickly, I'm worried about this football. They can't do the test the way the pro was scanned. I've been talking about high school football. I'm worried about the locker room situation. I'm worried about the bus travel. And I'll just put it to you. If one Minnesota high school football player contracts COVID and dies of this, is it worth it?
Oof. Yeah, I agree. Fred, we were talking about the Twins, and one of the things, the guy that's not getting recognized is Jake Cave. Holy smokes, has he been a key part of the Twins?
He has.
Unbelievable how well he's played, both defensively, offensively, and passion.
Yeah, he looks like two different players against right-handed and left-handed pitching, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, go ahead.
And, you know, they've made this run with Nelson Cruz being laid up, which I think is really amazing.
And you're also making this run with a third baseman that is great defensively, but hits a lot of grounders to first base. Josh,
hitting 204,
and he's hit into many double plays, and I know he's probably stressing out right now, but I'm sure he won't when he goes home and gets his check on Friday night. One more thing I'd like to end on. Donaldson got booted out of a game for complaining about balls and strikes, and then when he was asked to talk about it, he was hoping for an apology, and instead he continued to rip them. And why on earth do we not have an electronic strike zone? So, A, Fred, legally, would the players' union have any problem with that whatsoever? Because they're the ones bitching.
I don't think they would. The umpires' union would go crazy. And, of course, the unions of the umpires would talk to the unions of the players and try to prevent it. But the game would be better before it. The umpires are making more mistakes on the high and low pitches, not on the out, not on the corners, not on the east-west pitches, but in the north-south, they're making more mistakes. And people's minds are being changed from being against it.
Mine's totally changed.
I think it's coming someday.
So, Kyle, you watch a game, and every batter, there's one that's like 3 or 4 inches outside the box. And, you know, umpires, I mean, maybe you're hurting their character a little bit, but there's still going to be a home plate umpire who has responsibilities. It might be a little bit boring, but not when...
They've still got to run the game. They've got to do out-safe calls at the plate and a whole host of other things. So it's not going to cost any umpires their jobs.
Check swings and taking a ball off the knee. Did you see the ump last night take one off the knee? Oh, my gosh.
That was bad.
Yeah. It was such a contrast going from the series with the White Sox with the crew led by Angel Hernandez,
who was
consistently one of the bottom three or four umps in the majors, and his whole crew struggled. And then in the next series, the Twins had a couple of games that were umpired brilliantly. Younger guys, which is not a secret. You recall the big Boston University study that showed in glaring detail that the older the umps, the more ball strike calls they're missing.
Yeah.
And it was really nice to watch a game and not have pitches 7 inches outside of the strike zone called and affecting the outcome of a game in a playoff race potentially.
Fellas, we got to go, but like in anything, if you don't see the umpires or the referees in basketball, they're doing
a good job.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
All right, see you, fellas.
Bye-bye. Good luck, Kyle.